This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's American Politics Today. We're about to speak to Rick Bilkey, who is the communications director for Public Campaign. Welcome to Utopia Media's American Politics Today.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about clean money and clean elections. Are you implying by the title of your organization and so on and your campaigns that elections aren't the cleanest in the United States right now?
Well, our goal is to make elections about voters, not donors.
All right.
There's this perception out there that, you know, people think that politicians are bought and sold and paid for through political contributions, through lobbyist contributions, and through PACs. So the immediate goal of clean elections, the type of policy that we advocate for, would provide public funding, full public funding for those who choose to run for political office, thereby severing the ties between them and big money political donors that seem to dominate the political landscape today.
Okay, when you say full public funding, how full is that public funding? There was a campaign on initiatives here in California recently that spent the drug company spent about $80 million on their side. And Senate and gubernatorial campaigns are constantly setting new records for expenses. How full are you talking about in terms of public funding?
Well, the system that we advocate for is a voluntary system, and that's the one way we can ensure that it'll be constitutional.
Okay.
And the way they come up with the amount of the grants for each race is different states, is they look at the size of the district throughout their state, and then they base it on the average cost that it takes to win a campaign.
So it's essentially market-based. It looks at previous elections.
Yes. In order to qualify for the grant, people have to collect a set amount of qualifying contributions and signatures to show that they have community support. And during this period, they're allowed to spend a small amount of seed money to get their campaign up and running.
Okay.
Once they qualify and those contributions have been verified by the state, then they'll receive a grant to run their campaign. And once they receive that grant, they one of the conditions is they no longer will accept private contributions.
Okay. How is it determined how many small contributions people need to get to qualify for the funding?
Each state has set up their own thresholds. For example, Maine, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's enough so not just everybody can run for office. You actually have to go out and get a certain amount of people in your community to show that they do support your campaign. And what the $5 contribution does is it shows that not only are they willing to sign a piece of paper, but they're actually willing to give you money. And you'd be surprised at how difficult it can be to collect those $5 contributions because, you know, people will sign petitions rather easily, but when you try to get money from them, it's a little bit more difficult.
So this is essentially a mechanism to winnow out the people who are just doing this on a lark or something without any support at all from the community.
Exactly. It's to show that, you know, if we are going to allocate public funds to someone who's going to run for office, you know, they have to set a benchmark
right,
to show that they have a certain amount of community support before they can receive that funding.
Okay. Now, we've got the general philosophy. Well, where is the system implemented already?
The system has been implemented already in Maine and Arizona.
On a statewide basis?
In Maine and Arizona, it's on for the state Senate, state House, as well as the statewide offices. Currently in Maine, I think it's over 70% of the state Senate and a little bit over 60% in the state House have been elected with public funds. And in Arizona, it's either 9 or 10 of 11 statewide offices are held with people who ran with public funds.
And it was one of the requirements after you get the public funding, you can't receive any private funding after that?
You can no longer take private contributions once you receive public funding.
Could you tell us some anecdotes about cases in which candidates who've taken the public funding have gone up against candidates who are getting private funding and won?
I don't have any. Well, here's a good example. Governor Janet Napolitano of Arizona,
right,
when she won her office, she ran against Matt Salmon.
Right.
He was a Republican who decided to run under the old system where he had to go out and raise private contributions.
Right.
Governor Napolitano has said that, you know, one thing she loved about public financing is she freed herself from having to sit in a room all day dialing for dollars to try to pay for her campaign. So what happened was once she took the public funds, she could spend all her time talking to her constituents, talking to people who matter, talking to the voters, as opposed to talking to big political donors who would write those checks to make sure she could run her campaign.
What's going on in Connecticut?
Connecticut, on December 1st, I believe it was December 1st, let me look at my calendar. early December 1st, it was a Thursday, I was there, passed clean elections for all statewide offices as well as state Senate and state House.
And when's that going to go into effect?
It goes into effect for the 2008 election cycle, so it goes into effect in November of 2006.
Okay.
I just want to say it was the first time ever that a political body has voted public financing for themselves.
How did it get instituted in Maine and Arizona?
Maine and Arizona was passed by referendum.
Okay. Or initiative?
Initiative and I believe it's a referendum.
Referendum, the legislature puts it on the ballot.
Yeah.
An initiative, the
voters put it. Well, no, it was initiative in both states.
Right. So, comment on the difficulty or the irony or the issue there about legislators voting for this.
I'm sorry?
Talk about the difficulty, if there is one, in having legislators vote to change the way they're elected.
Yeah, I mean, it's asking politicians to police themselves, and you know how difficult that can be when you look at attempts in the past with campaign finance reform laws. So this was a huge victory for the movement, and you know the first time that you know a state political party and political legislators took a long hard look in the mirror and said, you know, what we have isn't working.
So
we want to try something different.
So far, what have you or others seen differences in Maine and Arizona as a result of the clean money campaigns in terms of the policies that are implemented by the legislature?
There's you know, the one policy that we like to look at is Governor Napolitano said that when she got into office, she wanted to try and lower the cost of prescription drugs for the elderly and for people on Social Security.
Right.
And so what she did was she ordered the state to start buying prescription drugs in bulk. And she said she wouldn't have been able to do that as easily as she did if she would have had to have taken contributions from the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay. That's the same pharmaceutical industry I just mentioned that spent $80 million in California to influence the election. Where are the next big campaigns taking place at the state or local levels?
Well, we work with over 30 different state-based organizations across the country, and you know they're all fighting hard. I can't really pinpoint where our next victory is going to be, but you know hopefully it'll be soon and it'll be somewhere across the country.
Tell people who think this is a good idea and want to get involved in it where they can get more information about your group and about local or state efforts in their areas.
Sure. You can visit publiccampaign.org, and we have on our page a link to where our state partners are located and an email address if you want to contact them.
Now, in terms of members of Congress, how does your campaign direct itself in that area?
You know, currently, there's...
And the Senate, of course.
Yeah, the Senate this cycle has not introduced a piece of legislation. In the past, it was introduced by Senator Wellstone and Senator Kerry.
Right.
And then on the House side, it's introduced by, I'm blanking on his name. It was a senator from Massachusetts, I want to say Tierney.
You want to say...
And he has introduced it again for this cycle.
So, and
but it's, you know, it's a marker bill. It's not going to go anywhere right now. We're still trying to build support on the Hill. Our main focus has been on the states, kind of trying to build a grassroots movement from a state-based perspective and then try to ride a tidal wave into the U.S. Capitol.
Okay. Would this eventually reach all the way to presidential funding?
You know, the proposal we have out there on the Hill, I believe, includes presidential. As you know, we have the partial system for the presidential system right now.
Right.
Last cycle was the first time since it was implemented that neither party used it. So that system appears to be broke and something needs to be replaced.
How are the parties if on this issue? Are either at the state or the federal level, are they taking cognizance of it? Do they like it? Are they opposing it? What's been the response of the Democratic and Republican parties to your campaign?
You know, it varies from state to state, and it's kind of, I look at this and I, you know, this issue and this public financing issue, I think kind of crosses all political spectrums and lines. And
right.
It's more of a populist issue, you know.
Right.
When people look, when you read the stats and the polls on the disapproval rating of Congress right now, which I believe is at 30%, you know, that's not just Democrats, that's also Republicans.
Approval ratings at 30%.
The approval ratings at 30%, sorry. You know, that's everyone in this country looking at that and saying, okay, there's something wrong with the way our political officials are acting. And so, you know, our solution to that is to offer a new system of how we elect our officials, freeing them from the the political contributions and the war chest that PACs and lobbyists have built up to help pay for these campaigns.
Have you noticed anything in terms of synergy between new electronic communications technologies, blogging, podcasts, digital video, and so on, as a way of synergizing with the public financing that you're talking about to enable more grassroots and less well-connected groups and individuals to run for office and win?
You know, as an organization, we've really done a lot of e-advocacy and e-online organizing.
Right.
And we, you know, that was a big aspect of our campaign in Connecticut. And part of it, you know, part of our strategy was to mobilize as many local people as we could to work with the local state groups to put some political pressure on the politicians to let them know that, you know, the people are watching, they want them to pass this bill and to not delay, don't shelve it, but take care of business and provide real campaign finance reform for Connecticut. And we think that was one of the big the best strategies and one of the biggest influences that helped us put this win over the edge.
Okay. How much are people using this financing method able to pay for? Do they tend to use it all on high-powered consultants, direct mail, websites, podcasting? What have you seen as the on the expenditure side? What kind of campaigns are developing using this clean money?
Publicly financed elections encourage more grassroots-based organizing. I haven't really gone through how campaigning has changed as a result of public financing.
Right.
But I do know that it's increased competition. It's allowed people who wouldn't normally run for office an opportunity to run for office. And it's, you know, we're seeing less and less incumbents running without a challenge. You know, there's actually democracy happening in these states where incumbents have to face challengers because they're on the same level playing field as the challenger.
Okay, just talk a little bit as we sort of wrap up about how public campaign works in terms of disseminating information and helping people in some areas to learn from the experience of people in other areas and either through electronic or other means building the organization and the base and the movement.
Sure. The best place to find out more about public campaign is to go to our website at publiccampaign.org.
Right.
On there you can find out what states we're working in, what publications we have available. You know, we do a video every 2 years narrated by Bill Moyers where we go out into Maine and Arizona and interview politicians as well as the average voters to talk about how the system works, how they like the system, and how they think politics has changed in their state. In addition to that, we've written a book about the political process and how big money dominates politics in D.C.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Is That a Politician in Your Pocket?
Okay, people can order that on Amazon or other places?
Yeah, Amazon has it. There's a link on our website that will take you to Amazon where you can purchase it.
Okay.
As well as we have other studies and stuff that we've published that you can either download or send us an email or call us and we can provide them with you.
Okay. Is your campaign for public campaigns getting as much media attention as you think it deserves?
You know, with this Connecticut victory, we've had a tremendous amount of media attention. Just in the last week alone since the bill has passed, there's been positive editorials written in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, as well as the USA Today. And I believe the AP story that came out of Connecticut that covered it appeared in over 250 papers across the country.
And have you been getting an upsurge in activity and interest?
Yeah, we've actually, you know, we've grown our base, our email list in the last year and a half from about 10,000 names to just over 50,000. And it seems to be growing and growing more and more. So I think as, you know, you hear more about the corruption scandals involving, you know, Representative DeLay and, you know, Duke Cunningham admitting that he took bribes, you know, not this perception of corruption is now becoming, you know, a reality. And people are wanting to get involved, wanting to find out how they can change the system and how they can make politics about them and not donors.
All right, good. Well, I want to thank you for your work and for talking to us on American Politics Today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.